New heading, empathic listening. Seek first to understand involves a very deep shift in paradigm. We typically seek first to be understood. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. They're either speaking or preparing to speak. They're filtering everything through their own paradigms, reading their autobiography into other people's lives. Oh, I know exactly how you feel. I went through the very same thing. Let me tell you about my experience. They're constantly projecting their own home movies onto other people's behavior. They prescribe their own pair of glasses for everyone with whom they interact. If they have a problem with someone, a son, a daughter, a spouse, an employee, their attitude is, that person just doesn't understand. A father once told me, I can't understand my kid. He just won't listen to me at all. Let me restate what you just said, I replied. You don't understand your son because he won't listen to you. That's right, he replied. Let me try again, I said. You don't understand your son because he won't listen to you. That's what I said, he impatiently replied. I thought that to understand another person, you needed to listen to him, I suggested. Oh, he said. There was a long pause. Oh, he said again, as the light began to dawn. Oh, yeah. But I do understand him. I know what he's going through. I went through the same thing myself. I guess what I don't understand is why he won't listen to me. This man didn't have the vaguest idea of what was really going on inside his boy's head. He looked into his own head and thought he saw the world, including his boy. He mistook introspection for observation. That's the case with so many of us. We are filled with our own rightness, our own autobiography. We want to be understood. Our conversations become collective monologues, and we never really understand what's going on inside another human being. When another person speaks, we're usually listening at one of four levels. We may be ignoring another person, not really listening at all. We may practice pretending. We may practice selective listening, hearing only certain parts of the conversation. We often do this when we're listening to the constant chatter of a preschool child. Or we may even practice attentive listening, paying attention, and focused energy on the words that are being said. But very few of us ever practice the fifth level, the highest form of listening, empathic listening. When I say empathic listening, I am not referring to the techniques of active listening or reflective listening, which basically involves mimicking what another person says. That kind of listening is skill-based, truncated from character and relationships, and often insults those listened to in such a way. It is also essentially autobiographical. If you practice those techniques, you may not project your autobiography in the actual interaction, but your motive in listening is autobiographical. You listen with reflective skills, but you listen with intent to reply, to control, to influence, to motivate, even to manipulate. When I say empathic listening, I mean listening with intent to understand. It means seeking first to understand, to really understand. It's an entirely different paradigm. Empathic listening gets inside another person's frame of reference. You look out through it. You see the world the way they see the world. You understand their paradigm. You understand how they feel. But empathy is not sympathy. Sympathy is a form of agreement, a form of judgment. And it is sometimes the more appropriate emotion and response. But people often feed on sympathy. It makes them dependent. The essence of empathic listening is not that you agree with someone. It's that you fully, deeply understand that person, emotionally as well as intellectually, or at least that you're genuinely seeking to do so. Empathic listening involves much more than registering, reflecting, or even understanding the words that are said. Communication experts estimate, in fact, that only 10% of our communication is represented by the words we say. Another 30% is represented by our sounds, and 60% by our body language. In empathic listening, you listen with your ears, but you also, and more importantly, listen with your eyes and with your heart. You listen for feeling, for meaning. You listen for behavior, for nuance. You use your right brain as well as your left. You sense, you intuit, you feel. Empathic listening is so powerful because it gives you accurate data to work with. Instead of projecting your own autobiography and assuming thoughts, feelings, motives, and interpretation, you're dealing with the reality inside another person's head and heart. You're listening to understand. You're focused on receiving the deep communication of another human soul. It's like sacred ground. Requires deep reverence, humility, courage, as well as skill. In addition, empathic listening is the key to making deposits in the emotional bank accounts of others, because nothing you do is a deposit unless the other person perceives it as such. You can work your fingers to the bone to make a deposit, only to have it turn into a withdrawal when a person regards your efforts as manipulative, self-serving, intimidating, or condescending because you don't understand what really matters to him or her. Empathic listening is, in and of itself, a tremendous deposit into the emotional bank account. It's the first deposit. It is deeply therapeutic and healing because it gives a person psychological air. If all of the air were suddenly sucked out of the room that you're in right now, what would happen to your interest in this book? You wouldn't care about listening any further. You wouldn't care about anything except getting air. Survival would be your only motivation. But now that you have air, it doesn't motivate you. This is one of the greatest insights in the field of human motivation. Satisfied needs do not motivate. Again, satisfied needs do not motivate. It is only the unsatisfied need that motivates. Next to physical survival, I suggest the greatest need of a human being is psychological survival. To be understood, to be affirmed, to be validated, to be appreciated. When you listen with empathy to another person, you give that person psychological air. And after that vital need is met, you can then focus on influencing or problem solving. The need for psychological air impacts communication in every area of life. I taught this concept at a seminar in Chicago one time, and I instructed the participants to practice empathic listening during the evening. The next morning, a man came up to me almost bursting with news. "Let me tell you what happened last night," he said. "I was trying to close a big commercial real estate deal while I was here in Chicago. I met with the principals, their attorneys, and another real estate agent who had just been brought in with an alternative proposal. It looked as if I were going to lose the deal. I had been working on this deal for over 6 months, and in a very real sense, all my eggs were in this one basket, all of them. I panicked. I did everything I could. I pulled out all the stops. I used every sales technique I could. The final stop was to say, 'Hey, could we delay this decision just a little longer?' But the momentum was so strong, and they were so disgusted by having this thing go on so long, it was obvious they were going to close. So I said to myself, 'Well, why not try it? Why not practice what I learned today and seek to understand, then to be understood? I've got nothing to lose.' I just said to the man, 'Let me see if I really understand what your position is and what your concerns about my recommendations really are. When you feel that I understand them, then we'll see whether my proposal has any relevance or not. I really tried to put myself in his shoes. I tried to verbalize his needs and concerns, and he began to open up. The more I sensed and expressed the things he was worried about, the results he anticipated, the more he opened up. Finally, in the middle of our conversation, he stood up, walked over to the phone, and dialed his wife. Putting his hand over the mouthpiece, he said, "You've got the deal." "I was totally dumbfounded," he told me. "I still am this morning." You see, he had made a huge deposit in the emotional bank account by giving the man psychological air. And when the man sensed that kind of freedom, that kind of breathing space, and his awareness of how long the salesperson had worked on the whole situation, he came to see it in an entirely new light. When it comes right down to it, other things being relatively equal, the human dynamic is more important than the technical dimensions of the deal. Seeking first to understand, diagnosing before you prescribe, is hard. It's so much easier in the short run to hand someone a pair of glasses that have fit you so well these many years. But in the long run, it severely depletes both P and PC. You can't achieve maximum interdependent production from an inaccurate understanding of where other people are coming from. And you can't have interpersonal PC, that is, high emotional bank accounts, if the people you relate with don't really feel understood. But you know, empathic listening is very risky. It takes a great deal of security to go into a deep listening experience because you open yourself up to be influenced. You become vulnerable. It's a paradox in a sense, because in order to have influence, you have to be influenced. That means you really have to understand, but that makes you at risk, vulnerable. That is why habits 1, 2, and 3 are so foundational. They give you the changeless inner core, the principal center, which does not change, and from which you can handle the more outward vulnerability with peace and strength.